Sometimes it feels like the news is full of things that have never happened before. And that is not exactly true. In fact, it may have happened this very week, hundreds or thousands of years ago. I'm Sally Helm, host of the podcast History This Week from the History Channel. Trade embargoes? Thomas Jefferson tried them. Rent too high? We've been arguing about that for a while. Each episode is proof. The past isn't that far away. Listen to History This Week, available now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Jim Rome Show. Rory McIlroy said it best after becoming just the fourth player to ever go back-to-back at the Masters. Quote, I don't make it easy. And despite last year's win, his demons had returned. But instead of choking, he crushed Amen Corner and ripped another green jacket.
Jim Rome, afternoons at 2 on 97.5 and 1240 KFH. Wichita's most listened to sports radio.
Can't find nothing on the radio. Y'all turn to that station.
95.5 WPET. You got Peter the Riff Griff shocking you and rocking you while I'm sitting here talking to you. It's 75 and sunny, which means our street squad's going to be out looking for them super stickers. If you don't got one, get down to Linoleum Depot this Saturday from 9 to 2. I'll be there hooking you up. Slap one on your car, win $100. Now I'm looking around and I'm seeing the Spin Doctors with not one, but two princes.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily.
I totally don't know what that means, but I want it.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. Glad to have you with us on Sports Daily. It is another hour. We've got Jalen Thompson. He'll get us ready for the Royals weekend coming up in just a little bit. We'll continue to discuss the Chiefs draft here, get you some some final thoughts on their draft, looking ahead and looking at the rest of the first round and what we thought. It is a draft heavy show because you got a couple of draft junkies in here. We love the draft. It's a blast. It's all what's on tap, brought to you by the Wichita Brewing Company, where it's patio season. Have a brew with a view on Delano's rooftop deck. Enjoy happy hour on WBC's East Patio, or grab a pizza outside shielded from the setting sun at WBC West. When you think patio, think Wichita Brewing Company, pizza and beer. Made here. The phone lines are open, 869-1240. You can reach the show on our comments, on our video stream, Facebook, YouTube X. Thanks to those watching us on 12 News Connected. Thanks if you're listening to us on the Odyssey app as well, where you can leave us voice messages. You can do that here on this either. Paul, I'm looking at a lot of Peter Woods. It seems like people love the player. Seems like people love Peter Woods, the player. So again, I think sometimes when we go back and we look at these drafts and you do everything, the question has to start with, is it a good player? Like, when can you remember a time that 2, 3, 4, 5 years down the road or whenever, we look back on a player that's great in the NFL and say, yeah, but you remember when they took him, they might have taken him around too early. Or they could have, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
We do this with the draft only like right now. And then all that ever really matters is that a good player? Is that a great player or not?
Well, I mean, the Patriots could have probably gotten Tom Brady in the eighth round instead of this, or I mean, the seventh round instead of the sixth round. So, I mean, I guess you can always say that. But, great players are going to show their colors and their work ethic and whatever it takes. And all these guys are not going to be stars in the NFL. All these guys aren't. There's going to be some of these guys who are not even going to be in the NFL, 3 years from now. So, this is an inexact science, as you know. So we take it with a grain of salt. Everything you and I talk about is our opinion. Now, granted, there's a little bit of education. There's a little bit of experience. A little bit of time's gone through with a draft or two in our day as we have followed, and we have a little bit of knowledge about how this process works, and which is why they're able to rank these guys, say this guy should be in this part of the draft, this guy should be in that part of the draft, this guy should maybe not even be in the draft, or maybe a late round at the very there's all kinds of things and ways to put this. So this is not an exact science, obviously. But I'll tell you what, there's always enough information out there that you can glean something, and that's the same with Peter Wood. The more you look at this kid, the more you're probably going to like him. And the fact is that the Chiefs, I gotta think they examined everything that's available that's after that pick, and Keldrick Falk. We talked about him in the last segment. You know, I look at that guy and I says, I would have had no problem with that pick either. But I don't know that I'm saying that we had any problem with Peter Wood. I don't have a problem with Peter Woods. I think he could be a dynamic player. And now that I have put together the fact that Chris Jones is 32, that's getting up there. There's not a lot of years left, not a lot of great productive years. I'm just saying, and chance for injury. I'm saying this may have been a lot smarter move than on first blush. How's that for being totally honest?
Yeah, look, I don't, I try to be honest with it. There are people out there that truly evaluate all these players, and I appreciate them greatly because that's what we rely on now, right? When I was younger, I actually did a lot of research and looked in and dug in, and I had opinions on all these players. But I can't tell you what I think of the defensive tackle from Clemson other than what I've read other people say about him.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's where the draft becomes, like the strategies and all those things become fascinating. But at the end of the day, I don't want to overthink, like, if your team comes away with a bunch of good players, it was a good draft. Like, at the end of the day, you just have to collect as many good players as you can collect. And it may leave you with holes in places that you've got to then work through the rest of the way. How the Chiefs have had an edge rushing issue for a long, long time. And they're probably not going to solve it in this draft at this point. Okay. So we know that. But did you get a Pro Bowl defensive tackle at that cost, you know, despite it? Did you get a replacement in the secondary for one of the best corners in the league? Then yeah, it's probably worth it. We have to just trust some of that. Now, they've got another strategic, fascinating decision coming at wide receiver today that we'll talk about as we make our way through in the expectations. But Paul, after this year, there's a good chance they don't have Rashi Rice and they don't have Travis Kelce. So, I mean, is that a bigger need now than even edge rusher is? I think it probably is. They took Jalen Royals last year. We didn't even get a look at him. Xavier Worthy got hurt to begin the year. He hasn't really taken off the way we thought. That's where you look at it and you're like, man, Peter Woods might be great, but they really need a wide receiver.
Right.
And, you know, could they have found one there? Could they have gotten their guy? Is there a guy they love, but they know they can get him later? That's where the draft becomes fun. You know, maybe there's a player here that's on the list. Now, if you go and look at your lists for wide receivers, the next wave of them is a little further down the board here. Maybe that's a trade down opportunity to try to reacquire a third round pick for the Chiefs. Hell, Paul, maybe they take another corner. Maybe they take a defensive lineman here. Lee Hunter, Caden McDonald. Lee Hunter, if you watched Big 12, is the other defensive lineman with Bailey that was really good at Texas Tech. There are true edge rushers inside, you know, the top 15 or so players that people like right now. So I'll tell you that what really is breaking my heart, Paul, is that my hope for Jacob Rodriguez to land in either Kansas City or Dallas is fading. I don't think the Chiefs now could take him at 40. And Dallas doesn't have a pick for a while. That's what's hurting me today.
Ah, geez.
Really, really, really want him.
Yeah, I hate to see you in such pain.
He's not lasting to the Cowboys at 92 in the third. Now, they could trade up. They need a linebacker. They could trade up. We'll get to the Cowboys, by the way, in the next segment. The Chiefs at 40, they don't really need that. There's no way. As much as Patrick Mahomes might be in their ear to go get him, that's just not a need for them. It's going to be interesting. I think if I had to bet a dollar Let's bet a dollar, Paul, on what we think the Chiefs will do in this round.
All right.
If I had to bet a dollar, I will bet that they trade down.
That might not be
a... I'll bet you the next pick that they make is a wide receiver, and I think they'll trade down before they make it.
That's interesting. Okay, I think I'll take that bet, and I'm going to predict. Can I give you a bigger case, a bet in other words, of several different positions? Do I have to pick one position?
Well, I mean, we're betting a dollar, Paul. You can't. I mean, I could say five different things. You got to give me your most likely scenario.
Okay, I'm just going to go with what I think could be the obvious. I think they're going to use that pick, and I think they're going to take the best edge rusher that is available at
so
that
you
time.
You think edge rusher at 40?
I'm just saying.
I think wide receiver, and they don't make pick 40. So that's what we've got as predictions tonight.
I almost went with wide receiver. And by the way, I wouldn't be surprised if somewhere some tight end slides in there. Listen, just a few days ago, you and I were talking about Kenyon Sadiq, the kid out of Oregon, a tight end, who is a blazer at that position. I mean, he runs well, he catches well.
The Jets, one of the Jets' three first-round picks.
There you go. And that kid's a player, and he's going to end up being a great player, in the NFL. And he's that tight end. And listen, there's been talk that a tight end's going to be taken in this draft. You know, there's going to be talk about let's get somebody in and that can rub elbows a little bit with that receiver core and learn all the lessons that can be taught through that position. And I just think that I wouldn't be surprised if a tight end was taken because Kelsey's not going to be here forever. One or two years at the most. That's it.
All right, so we'll go back to the draft in just a little bit. When we return, our Royals insider, Jalen Thompson, is in to look ahead to the weekend, look ahead to Kansas City. Any hope with what we've seen the last couple of games, or is it spiraling out of control? We'll talk to Jalen when we return on Sports Daily. Don't go away.
Sports Radio KFH.
The Recap Show is an inside look into the world of global soccer and women's sports. Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
From the Accident Recovery Team Traffic Center, don't worry about me, I called ART.
Traffic. I-235 South heading onto K-96 East. It's jammed up starting at 37th Street. Also, watch for construction delays on Southeast Boulevard northbound at 31st Street with a backup to the I-35 overpass. From the Accident Recovery Team Traffic Center, that's your Odyssey Wichita traffic.
Weather. Good morning. After a bumpy Thursday evening, we get a fantastic Friday. Lots of sunshine, lighter winds from the east, 10 to 15, and a high of 77. Clouds return tonight, 53 is the low, and then here we go again. Showers and storms are likely both Saturday afternoon and Sunday afternoon, and those could be severe. Otherwise, a warm weekend with highs in the mid-70s on Saturday and near 80 on Sunday. That's your forecast from Storm Team 12. I'm meteorologist Jake Dunn.
Right now,
the Dan Patrick Show.
Dan Patrick.
I don't think Joker wins another MVP. And it's not because he's not deserving. He's just not going to win it. And Wemby is on the way. Because I would be surprised if Wemby is not the favorite next year to win the MVP. Felt like it might be a little too early this year. He did miss games earlier in the season. He's wonderful to watch. We're lucky to be treated to some... These players, young players, now Joker's not young, but he's still doing things that nobody's ever done. Like when you hear that in any sport, when you go, well, nobody's ever done that. Okay, you got my attention. And I understand this because we do want a new topic. You know, the NBA writers are no different than me or you as a fan where you go, you know, we need a new story here.
The Dan Patrick Show.
Dan and the Danettes and you.
Middays from 11 until 2 on 97.5 and 1240 KFH.
Wichita's most listened to sports radio.
I scream along at the top of my lungs.
It's a way to release my rage.
Yeah. Chill, dude.
97.5 and 1240 KFH.
Oh, okay, take it easy. We're going on the air.
This is Sports Daily on KFH. And now, digging deeper with the teams you follow, it's another Sports Daily Insider interview on KFH.
And that insider is Jalen Thompson. Glad to have Jalen in with us on a Friday, a usual stop by. We had a day off to reflect on things, Jalen. How you feeling today? You know, every week we keep asking you about the panic meter. And every week there keeps being a little bit more to panic about, probably. We're talking yesterday, and let me start here, actually. Are you encouraged offensively by what you saw in the final two games of the Baltimore series?
I would say, Jacob, I think there were positive signs. There were positive signs. You saw some good swings out of guys. Carter Jensen continues to be the best hitter on this team right now. And the 6 home runs, the 14 RBIs, I think that's what he has. He has a little bit more. It's really good, really good for a guy that came up in last September and, you know, has really hit the ball well in his first like 30 something games in the majors. It's really impressive. I would say as far as the rest of the offense, it's a work in progress. And I wrote a story on the Kansas City Star. Go check that out if you haven't. Just evaluating the good, the bad, the ugly of the first 25 games. And right now, I think there are signs that they're getting out of it. Like, I like what Michael Massey's doing. I like what Vinny Pasquantino is doing, getting back his swing. The power is kind of showing up in certain stretches, but it's a long way to go. And if you are happy about where the Royals are doing right now, then you might need to go and reevaluate that because it isn't good right now.
It's not. Okay, so let me follow it up with this then, Jalen. Nobody's happy with the way that the season has started. The good news for the Royals is in the American League, everybody's right around 500 right now. Mm-hmm. So that makes it a little easier. Like, you know, the Mets and the Phillies have to sit there and watch Atlanta running away with the division early. That's tough. The Royals don't have that. They're only 5.5 back of Cleveland, which is basically 5.5 back of everybody in the American League, except the Yankees. So when you think about it that way and you think about what do we think it's going to take, 86, 87, 88 wins to make the playoffs, just some real brief calculations, if they're 9 games under now, from April 24th on, the Royals are going to have to be about 15 games better than 500 if they want to reach the postseason. Is this a team over that stretch of time you feel like can play that level of baseball?
I will say yes, but with two caveats here. The first caveat is you need your star players, and we say this every week. Bobby Witt Jr., Vinny Pasquantino, Salvador Perez have to play to their capability. If they do that, then they can definitely rattle off some wins. Let's not forget, last year they had a similar streak where they were terrible. Then they rattled off 16 of 18 games, and they got back into, okay, the ship was kind of righted a little bit. This team has to do something similar. And to be honest with you, like you said, the American League has not ran away from them yet. They're still in the race. If we were running a 400 right now, they are in well back of the pack, right? But there's still time to catch up on the back leg of the season. So they just have to speed up and get back into contention. But I think that if you don't have your top guys hitting and that bullpen, you've seen there's not really a lot of help coming from them. They're gonna have to use that offense to overcome those warts of that bullpen and a little bit of that starting rotation to be better.
Paul Savage here. Thanks for joining the show. We really appreciate it. You bring great insight with the Kansas City Royals. Vinny Pasquantino, I find very interesting. It's an interesting subject for this point at this point of the year with the Royals, batting 160. How important is for him to get, you know, into the swing of things and get his average and get his RBIs and get his leadership and get his bat going to a place where the Royals, you know, can swing off of eight wins for the whole year and start upticking that and get the Royals to a place where, who knows, maybe they can, you know, compete for a wild card when the chips are down.
Hey, Paul, good to hear from you. Good to chat with you. And you're absolutely right. I think Vinny Pasquantino has to tap into his Pasquatch powers and get this thing going right again. And I think he will. I think you're seeing better swings out of him these last couple of games. I think the home runs are going to start to come. And if you look at the calendar, where are we at? April 24th. I think he's starting to get into his routine. You know, he always struggles in April. He always struggles. It's just not his month. Well, we're about to get into May. And I think if when we get into May, you'll see Vinny Pasquantino start to, you know, stretch out a little bit and start to roam freely in these baseball pastures as the Pasquatch, which everyone will love to see because the Royals need it right now. If Vinny can get to where he can be the guy that prepares and provides that power, then maybe he can hold the line until Bobby Witt Jr. gets back into the form that we know we've seen him. And maybe he can hold the line until Salvador Perez kind of performs better with runners in scoring position. And maybe he can hold the line until you get more consistency from guys like Jack Caglione and Michael Garcia and Lane Thomas and the like. Because they have to have those guys perform at a peak level if they're going to make a run and flip this thing around.
Jalen Thompson joining us, KC Star, our Royals insider. Glad to have Jalen's insight here. You mentioned the bullpen, Jalen. Let's go there. Listen, it's going to be a problem. We knew that, though, when Carlos Estevez went down. We knew it was going to be a little bit of a problem. So Lucas Ursig's had a couple of kind of blow-up performances, but his stuff looks good. When he struggled last year, his stuff didn't look great. His stuff has looked pretty good. His control's been a little off. Strom has not been as effective as they'd hoped. Daniel Lynch has been. How long do you think it takes before Lynch moves out of... And they have him in a high-value position now because he can give him multiple innings, but at some point, does Lynch have to become one of the high leverage, very late game options for this team?
You know, I don't know about that, Jacob, because if you do that, do you risk overexposing him?
I know. And you risk losing your guy that can give you one plus in those spots where you need him. But I got to tell you, man, how are you getting to Ursig right now?
That's the thing. The only way that the Royals are going to get to Ursig is you got to have your starters go seven innings, which puts a lot of pressure on them.
But they Strom hasn't been. I mean, you good with Strom in the eighth?
I mean, he had that one bad outing, yes, but he did come in and got three straight consecutive strikeouts that won those games last week. So, I mean, I'm okay with him there. You know what the Royals really need? They need someone that can throw 100 miles per hour to be in the bullpen. They really do. They don't have
Ursig. They need, you know what they need, I think, Jalen? They need Estevez back. They need healthy Estevez back just to be an option back there. I mean, I'm looking at Strom. Strom's ERA is ballooned up to 5.19. Like half of his appearances, he's allowed a run. I don't know. Like, I'm with you. They need a flamethrower, but you ain't going to find a flamethrower back there now.
They have one.
Who?
In Double A, his name is Dennis Colleran Jr. He throws 100 miles per hour, but they don't want to bring him up. I mean, was if you watch spring training, that dude was blowing people away. Like he has the they have a guy. I just don't know. Maybe he's too young because they don't want to bring him up and expose him to this bullpen right now, which I understand. But that guy has heat. He's throwing 100. He's pumping 100.
Okay.
And he has a high leg kick.
Jalen, we have you in to get real good evaluations of Double A relievers in the Royals farm system. That's good stuff. But they're going to have something. It's a collection of everything because and the starting rotation's been really good. But as we mentioned a lot in the offseason, can we really expect them to you know, go seven innings with two or less runs every, like, Michael Wacha wasn't terrible the other night. He gave up that bloop single that kind of messed up his line.
But yeah,
you're going to have to win games where your starter is like that.
Exactly. It's almost like, since it's, we're in NFL draft mode, I will use an NFL terminology here. We have three phases of this game, and the bullpen, the offense, and the starting rotation are three of those phases, right? Only one of them is really clicking right now. And if you're in the NFL and you only have your offense and clicking and your defense and special teams is not, you're not going to win games. So the Royals have to figure out, how can we get our bullpen and our offense going to sustain when our starting pitching does not have it? And it's cool. Before Michael Wacha's last start, you looked at the top starters in the majors. It was Seth Lugo and Michael Wacha. They were in the top four in ERA. And you were 8-7, 16. That's where you were at. So now Wacha had a bad game. Offense didn't pick him up. They're 8-17. They have to figure out a way to score more than two runs a game. Yes, they did the last two games against the Orioles, and that's a good start. But do that against the Angels this weekend. Go to Sacramento and do it against the Athletics, and do it against Seattle next week. Then maybe if you finish April, let's say, with six wins of the next nine, do you feel good about the Royals?
I do. But they got to do it. And honestly, let's look to this weekend series and really the next six games, because of what looms after that, Jalen. Mm-hmm. There feels like there should be, and I hope that there is, a ton of pressure on what's coming in the next six, because after the next six, here we go again in that American League where there just aren't going to be a lot of opportunities for games that, you know, that aren't tough. You get the Angels and the A's, then you go to Seattle, and then mm-hmm. you get seven against Cleveland and Detroit. Ten of your next games after these next six are against playoff teams. So the next six, to your point, they have six. What did we call it? What did you just say? They got to win?
Six out of nine.
Six out of, so you're including the Seattle series.
Yeah, I'm including Seattle too.
So what is it in the next six? Four out of six?
You don't have to. You have to.
You gotta finish the year 15 games better than 500.
Yeah. Honestly, you need to finish this month with, you probably need to win all these games. Sweep the next two series, and then you start going into May where you're back in it. If you sweep the next two series, that's six wins, right? So now you're at 14. You're 14-17. Do you feel good about the Royals then? I think you might.
Yeah, you'd feel okay then. Yeah, you feel okay. Here's maybe we're overthinking all of this. Don't you just feel okay about the Royals if they're playing better? I mean, that's been the elephant. Yeah, like, we can mm-hmm. break it down and you know, fine-tooth comb it all, but at the end of the day, they just haven't played good yet.
They haven't. They haven't had a complete game, and they will tell you that. They will tell you that they've probably only had two complete games the whole year. Two of them. But here's the thing, though. If you look at the Angels, and the Angels are a really strong offensive team, you're not going to face Soriano, who has a 0.24 ERA. You're gonna skip him. So you can probably maybe win that series. Just don't hit to Joe Adell in the outfield, because he'll steal it. But Mike Trout's going to be good. And it's Sunday Night Baseball. You can't get embarrassed in Sunday Night Baseball. The first time you had it at Kauffman Stadium in 10 years, you cannot get embarrassed on Sunday. You just can't. On national TV, you can't get embarrassed.
No. No, you cannot.
Well, let me get a quick question. Oh, I'm sorry. Let me go ahead and get a quick question in. I want to talk just a minute about the American League, because I'm very curious. I mean, I know we're only in April, but once we get into, say, let's say September, who's the cream of the American League as you see it right now? You've got about six, seven teams right now that could easily be the representative in the World Series. I mean, but is it the Yankees? I mean, they appear to be, you know, about a half a head and shoulders above everybody else. But who do you like right now, being one or two of those guys in that towards the end of September, once this league starts going down to where are we and before we head into the playoffs?
I would have to say you're absolutely right, Paul. The Yankees are the team in the American League. And I say that because I've seen, just being in New York last week, watching them play, that lineup gets rolling. I mean, you're talking about guys like Aaron Judge, Giancarlo Stanton, Ben Rice, Jazz Chisholm, Cody Bellinger. And then they have a guy like Ahmed Rosario's on that team. And it's just, they just have guys that just, they can keep rolling out there. And then they're starting pitching. The Royals didn't even see Max Fried, but then you saw Cam Schlittler. You saw him. He's an emerging star. They have just Will Warren was pitching well against the Royals. They have a team and they have a stadium where it is a real clear advantage every time you play at Yankee Stadium against the Yankees, because they can just hit the ball at the ballpark. And they do it with really relative ease. So I think the Yankees are a team that probably is the best in top class of the American League. And they should be. They spend the most money. They should be the one of the top classes of the league. But I will also say I would not sleep on Detroit, because Detroit also has a good team. They still have Skubal. Now, if they trade Skubal at the deadline, I would take them out of the mix. But because they have Skubal, they have Framber Valdez, they have Jack Flaherty, they have Justin Verlander, they have the pitching, right? So I would say Detroit is probably the next, right behind the Yankees. But a team that I would not sleep on, and the Royals are going to see them next week, I would not sleep on the Athletics. The Athletics were an emerging team last year. They're young, they're fun. And if they get rolling this summer with the guys they have out there, Nick Kurtz, Lawrence Butler, Denzel Clark, naming just these young guys that can really play and really take it to the next level, I wouldn't be surprised if they're a wild card team.
Yeah, they got some dudes. I like Seattle too. Jalen, real quick, it's NFL draft season. You a Falcons guy?
I am a Falcons guy.
That's what I thought. You from that region. No first round picks. I mean, what a bummer. How lame is that?
You know what, though? I don't think it was bad for them this year, though. Because a lot of the guys that didn't get picked in the first round, they're at the top of the board. Okay. And it's only 18 picks to 48 or 15 picks to 48.
That's a long way to go. You can sugarcoat it however you want.
Yeah, no.
You guys don't even have a quarterback right now.
You're right. We don't have a quarterback. I mean, yeah. You're right.
I don't even know who the third best quarterback in this draft is. Maybe you can find them. Maybe Penix will be okay.
Carson Beck, maybe?
What's that?
Is that the guy? Carson Beck?
Yeah. Good luck.
Good. You're being awful tough on him, Jacob. Come on now. Ease off a little bit.
You know, he's got the Georgia ties and all that. So,
I do. It's fair. It's fair.
All right.
The Falcons have not won a playoff game since 2017.
It's been a minute. It's been a minute. All right. Jalen, we appreciate it. We'll follow along all your coverage at the KC Star, at Jalen Thompson on X. I kind of think we saw something at the end of that Baltimore series, at least with the offense. I got to put it together, but they got an opportunity to win some games this weekend at home. Let's see if they can do it.
I think so. And we don't have to talk about a stadium anymore. They take that.
The stadium is happening. We'll get your thoughts on that at some point down the road when the sky is not falling. Jalen, we appreciate it.
All right. Thank you guys so much.
There goes Jalen Thompson, our Royals insider. We'll come back. We'll go back to the NFL draft. We'll return on Sports Daily.
Sports Radio KFH.
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
From the Accident Recovery Team Traffic Center, don't worry about me, I called ART.
Traffic. For some delays on I-235 South heading on to K-96. From the Accident Recovery Team Traffic Center, that's your Odyssey Wichita traffic.
Weather.
Good morning. After a bumpy Thursday evening, we get a fantastic Friday. Lots of sunshine, lighter winds from the east, 10 to 15, and a high of 77. Clouds return tonight, 53 is the low, and then here we go again. Showers and storms are likely both Saturday afternoon and Sunday afternoon, and those could be severe. Otherwise, a warm weekend with highs in the mid-70s on Saturday and near 80 on Sunday. That's your forecast from Storm Team 12. I'm meteorologist Jake Dunn.
It is above the noise. For most programs, two solid seasons would be enough to earn trust. For Alabama football, it earns more questions than answers. Kalen DeBoer has been good, not great in Tuscaloosa, but that won't cut it. Not for a long period of time. But Alabama handed him a 7-year, $87 million extension yesterday that, on the surface, screams commitment. In reality, it says something else. Because in modern college football, contracts rarely mean a long-term backing. They're placeholders, financial markers more than guarantees. With booster money flowing, expectations high, buyouts have become part of the business. Just look around. Jimbo Fisher walked away from A&M with $76 million. Brian Kelly paid $56 million to leave LSU. James Franklin, nearly $50 million to part ways with Penn State. So while DeBoer's deal looks like a vote of confidence, it's a reflection of the system. Big numbers, big expectations, and the flexibility if things go sideways. I'm Dan Patrick, and this is Above the Noise. When money's tight and you're behind, it can be tough to play catch-up. But Liberty Mutual can help you make a comeback, a fourth-quarter go-ahead drive, if you will. Liberty Mutual is clutch by customizing your car and home insurance to save you money, especially when you bundle. It's insurance built for real people with a team that works hard to help keep more of what matters most in your pocket, money. Liberty, 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 Liberty. Get a quote at libertymutual.com or with your local independent agent, libertymutual.com. Two words, prostate exam. Relax. Screening starts with a simple finger-free blood test. Around 1 in 8 men in the United States will be diagnosed with prostate cancer in their lifetime. Prostate cancer can have over a 99% 5-year relative survival rate when caught at a localized or regional stage. If you're 40 or over and have a prostate, visit relaxitsabloodtest.com to see if a PSA blood test is right for you. Talk to your doctor about screening and the next steps. Sponsored by Novartis.
Don't risk losing the trusted news, traffic, sports, and weather you get from AM radio stations. It's time to make your voice heard. We need Congress to pass the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act to keep AM radio in cars. When internet and cell services are out, AM could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 39179 and tell Congress to pass this critical legislation now.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
I love that I can just take it with me everywhere.
It's like a one app on my phone I constantly use.
Download the Odyssey app and listen anywhere. 97.5 and 1240 KFH.
Dude, you gotta hear this. Hear this.
Go ahead. I think I want to hear this.
Sports Daily is on KFH.
Thanks to Prairie Fire Coffee for keeping us fueled up. We were up late with the NFL draft. I was up late working the TV side of things. Thanks to Storm Team 12, and I know you hear them here on KFH, for keeping everybody attuned to the activities of last night. It got a little squirrely out there. Certainly very squirrely to our friends down in Enid, Oklahoma. As they pick up the pieces, let that be a reminder of the hard work that your local meteorologists do to try to keep you safe, try to keep you aware, prepared. Keep an eye on Saturday night, Paul. Keep an eye on Sunday. Yesterday was, a good example of how just what might seem like an innocent storm, all of a sudden we got tornadoes falling out and we got big hail and we got all the stuff that, you got to be ready for. So,
by the way, let me plug just a little bit your weather coverage last night. They came up with something I'm not familiar with, dust devils. I mean,
land spouts. They're land spouts.
Oh, land spouts. That's right. I thought.
Sometimes land spouts come down. They can also be destructive.
Well, that was a new one on me. I mean, I'm not sure I've ever heard that in a report. I've been around a while, so
tornadoes last night. We had land spouts last night. We had big hail. We had all kinds of stuff last night.
Wow, there you go.
Land spouts.
Yeah, you guys did a good job last night.
They kind of look like a dust devil. Yeah. All right. So, Paul, let's go back to our draft talk here.
All right.
And we'll try to cram it all in. It's so these shows after a draft are some of the best of the year. I pull in something, and so are all the great people that follow the Chiefs are finding old stuff. Here's what Mike Renner, who is CBS Sports's kind of one of their lead draft guys. And I saw him last night give the Chiefs an A+ for this pick. And I was like, wow, okay. He also gave him a really high grade on their Mansoor Delane pick. There's a couple of things that have come up. Arrowhead Addict retweeted this and Seth Kaiser. So this one's first from Mike Renner. This was on July 22nd of 2025, Paul. So last summer, he said, he's in awe of the fact that 315-pound Clemson defensive tackle Peter Woods played 31% of his snaps last year on the edge and did not look out of place. He called him at that point again last summer before the season, easy choice for my early number one player in the 2026 class. How about that?
Wow.
Then you have this stat on Mansoor Delane. Seth Kaiser, Braden Turner pulls this from, and I don't know where the info came from. Mansoor Delane was the primary coverage player in 2025. Okay, when he was this, Paul, the opposing completion percentage only 27%, and the opposing QBR 3.9. So basically, when quarterbacks threw at Mansoor Delane, they did not have a good time.
Not good.
So
wow,
you're looking at this, and this is where, to my point earlier. And I'm guilty of this, and we're all guilty of it because we have so much fun with the draft. Like sometimes we overthink the strategy, all of that kind of stuff. When at the end of the day, if you just end up with great players, you've had a successful draft. And there are a lot of opinions out there that these are two great players. Were they the greatest area of need at the right time in the draft and all of that? Maybe not. Was it an overpay to move up to take? Was it an overdraft? Maybe. But at the end of the day, in 3 years, if these are two great players, we're not going to care about any of that.
No, that's right.
Remember the 2022 draft, too, by the way, which is kind of interesting. The last time the Chiefs had two in the first round, they took a corner and they traded up for a corner and they took an offensive lineman, McDuffie and Karloftis. So there's some parallels there, too. But so I think when we look for the Chiefs, Paul, you look at that. You see those evaluations. It looks like two highly talented players, perhaps the two best players at their respective positions in this class. And you say, okay, I'm going to give I'm going to be okay with the start to this draft for the Chiefs.
Well, I just want to point this out though, that with Woods, I mean, we're looking at a kid that is obviously going to be a great player, I believe, for Kansas City. There's no doubt about that. But Peter Woods is not going to be an edge player, Jacob. He is not going. I mean, he does.
No.
Okay.
I think the point on that was he just lined up out there a third of the time.
Well, in college, you could probably get away with that, and I would not doubt that, and I would say that probably makes some sense.
315 pound.
Right.
Edge rushers don't exist.
That's right. But you got to think that obviously the Kansas City Chiefs are putting a much more expensive view to the position of inside tackle of an inside
Steve
player.
Spagnuolo has played Chris Jones on the edge. Now I don't like do it. I don't think it works as well.
That's me
but
too.
They have.
I know that, and I'm with you. I'm with you on that. It hasn't worked as well. That's not his place. That's not what he does. Well, there are other things he can do in the middle that gum up the works for any offense in the NFL. So I'm with you on that. But the point is that. I didn't realize that defensive tackle, you get kind of cocky. You think to yourself, gosh, Chris Jones, he's going to be around for a while. I mean, that's what we wishfully hope for, that kind of thing. So I'm just saying that I get what they're doing, particularly with Peter Woods. But I can tell you right now, they're still going to be looking. They're going to take an edge before this is all said and done.
Oh, for sure. At some point, do they take it at 40?
No question.
And we've got our dollar on the line.
Yeah, and it might be 40. We'll see.
We got our dollar on the line.
And I'm going to want my dollar.
Edge at 40.
Yeah.
I think trade down and their next pick will be a wide receiver.
I'll tell you what I'm going to do with my dollar when I win it from you. I think I'm just going to put it towards like a pack of water from HTO.
Yeah.
You know, can I apply it towards the price? Is that okay?
You can.
Thank you.
In fact, if you win the bet, I'll give you a case of water from HTO. We'll up the ante here. We'll up the ante.
There you go.
It's great water, by the way. It's great tea.
Drink it all the time, son.
Know that. It's great water.
It is.
Paul, so let's look at, you know, we've got, you know, a little less than 10 minutes left to go here. Let's go to some other places besides the Chiefs. Mendoza goes one overall. No surprise. Jeremiah Love at 3, your favorite player
in the draft. That's my favorite player to draft.
I don't think it was a surprise he went at 3, but I think the Cardinals were kind of out of options there. Maybe they're not ready for his skill set to help them immediately, but at some point you just take the best player, right?
Right.
Tate at 4 was a surprise. I don't think the Giants envisioned Arvell Reese falling to them at 5, which was really interesting. Jordan Tyson, the other receiver, ends with the Saints. I think the Saints, you know, if the Chiefs really pulled one over on him to get Delane, Jordan Tyson for them is probably not a bad consolation prize. I'll tell you this. The other big shocker of the round was Ty Simpson. And I don't know about Ty Simpson as a prospect, but if you're Ty Simpson, you got the perfect landing spot. Matt Stafford's got 1, maybe 2 years left. Fine. Ty Simpson's biggest flaw is that he hadn't played enough football. You go meet up with Sean McVay. That's the best case scenario for him. Now, I don't think I like the pick very much because I don't know how much I actually like Ty Simpson. But boy, if you're Ty Simpson, you're a big winner, I think, in this draft.
And of course, who he plays for, Alabama, he's surrounded by athletes. He's surrounded with protection. Right. He's surrounded with receivers that can run. Most of the time, Alabama is a very, very adequate rushing football team. The thing about Ty Simpson that's different from Mendoza is almost 6'5". And Ty Simpson is 6'1". That's a big difference. You know, you always like that height in a pocket. And Ty Simpson was a shock. I was stunned. I mean, I had just heard Mel Kiper in the last few days say, well, people are saying Ty Simpson may go in the first round.
There was some smoke to this one.
There was smoke.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people said that's not going to happen. I didn't think it would happen. And so I thought that was fascinating. And the reason being, I heard a commentator say, was it last night, maybe it was this morning, who said, in the view of the Rams, what they wanted to do was take a quarterback while you don't need him. That's when they wanted to take the quarterback. And so they want, of course, they want
Matt. Well, and they just have the perfect situation. Simpson's flaw is he's too raw, getting him and putting him behind Stafford.
There you go.
Because you could do it you could go the Jordan Love route. He could sit for 2 years, Paul, and I think you're fine with it if you're the Rams. I'll give you my kind of favorite. I love, you know, it's hard not to love what the Jets did. 3 first-round picks, 3 very high-profile players with those picks. I thought, you know, they're gonna be a, you know, anytime you can pick 3 times. I'll tell you, Reuben Bain falling to 15 in the Bucs, and people that listen to this show, I didn't love Bain up there to the Chiefs. Felt a little too risky, but for him to fall down to 15 in such a clear need for the Bucs, that feels like a huge win for them. I loved what the Browns did. You're kind of backing up Shedeur Sanders a little bit. You're giving him a chance to succeed. You get him a weapon. You get him an offensive lineman. I think that was the right way to go for them. And Paul, you can roll your eyes at it all you want. Man, I love what the Cowboys did in the first round. Caleb Downs getting to Dallas is such a big for a team. You think the Chiefs need defensive players? Man, the Cowboys need defensive players desperately. And to get who I thought was probably it was him or Love for me as the best player in this draft. I think Caleb Downs is awesome. I thought that was great. They get the edge rusher that a lot of people like. Malachi Lawrence is fine. I love the strategy of it. I'm devastated they won't have a chance to get Jacob Rodriguez unless they can trade up. but I thought they also had a good first round. Who were some of your favorite first rounds?
Well, let me just point out with Caleb Downs, I think you're exactly right. Having watched, you know, Ohio State numerous times.
That's the thing. We've watched them, yeah.
Yeah, we're familiar with a lot of their players. And at safety, you know, you've got a guy that he's going to be able to play downhill. He's going to make a lot of plays.
Don't you think,
Paul, he's going to make a lot of plays for the Cowboys. Go ahead.
You know, safeties get undervalued a little bit. Don't you think, though, like the Cowboys who have a bad defense, a safety feels like they're called a safety for a reason, and they can cover up a lot of flaws on a defense.
And they make plays on the edge. They make plays playing downhill into the box. They make plays deep over the top. They come over and help. What doesn't a safety do other than line up and put his hand down on the line of scrimmage? What don't they do? Because they got to cover, they got to make tackles, they got to make plays, they've got to force edges. What don't safeties do? And when you have a great one, they make a difference. How about I go all the way back to the days of Larry Wilson with the Cardinals? That was the first great safety. He set the tone. And what did he do? He made plays all over the field, didn't he? And that's what the great ones do.
They do. All right, so you liked the Downs. Anybody else that we didn't talk about, you going to give a tip of the cap to in the first round there? I mean, it's hard not to say the Raiders if they got it right. If Mendoza's the guy, then the Raiders are going to have the best first round of anybody.
Well, we did talk.
So funny.
Yeah, we talked just briefly about Kenyon's Sadaki. I like, yeah, Sadiq, I'm sorry. He to me, out of Oregon, that tight end, he's going to be, he could end up being a game changer.
So you're in then on the Jets first round, because the Jets also got Bailey, who I know you like and I like a lot.
Yes.
Omar Cooper Jr., that receiver out of Indiana, again, a player that we saw a lot of because we saw a lot of Indiana. Geno Smith walks into the Jets, and now all of a sudden, a team with no weapons, Geno's looking like, hey, I got Breece Hall back there. I got this talented young tight end, Kenyon Sadiq. I already have Garrett Wilson, who's one of the best in the business. Now we're adding this Omar Cooper Jr., who was a lot of people's favorite receiver in the draft. Geno may have pulled one out. Geno may have walked into it. You know, the makings of it, and I know their defense was absolutely dreadful last year. But if you're going to be really bad, wouldn't you rather be really bad on defense than offense?
Well, you know something, if you're going to lose a game, what's the difference of losing a game 45-43
versus... Wouldn't you rather lose 45-43 than 13-0?
That's my point.
Especially if you're a Jets fan.
There you go.
They've had lots of teams with great defenses and no offense. I think they're trying to flip that around on us. That's... Man, what a great first round. I love the draft. Second round's going to be great. Second and third round, the Chiefs will be active. It'll be fun, Chiefs fans. We're going to come back. We got a little more Sports Daily. Don't go away.
Kansas Fan Headquarters, 97.5 and 1240 KFH Wichita. KNSS HD2 Clearwater and Odyssey Sports Station.
The KFH Studios, powered by Devon James Injury Lawyers. Call 888-8888.
That's 888-8888.
Man, I love this place. I've been surfing here since I was a kid. Now, seeing my grandson out on the water, it means everything to me. Watching him and taking in the blue waves, the sea breeze, the blurry horizon...
If you have geographic atrophy, or GA, subtle changes in vision could mean it's progressing toward irreversible vision loss. Izervay is proven to slow GA progression and could help preserve your vision for longer, so you may keep seeing the world around you. Izervay, or Avastin Captid Pegol, is an eye injection. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. Izervay can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. Izervay may cause blood in the white of the eye, blurred vision, or a temporary increase in eye pressure. Do not drive or use machinery until vision has recovered after an eye injection or exam. Ask your retina specialist how you can slow your GA with Izervay. To learn more, call 1-855-IZERVAY or go to izervay.com. Paid for by Astellas Pharma.
As your golf pro, I couldn't be prouder. These shots are amazing. You've really been listening to my instruction.
Yeah, you know, I really feel like I have the right swing thought now.
You mean swing thoughts? I've given you over a dozen. I knew it would work. Okay, let's see a good one here.
Caddy Snack Blonde Ale by WBC.
Caddy Snack Blonde Ale by Wichita Brewing Company. The only swing thought you'll need this golf season.
Breaking news for your home, Wayday. Wayfair's big sale is almost here, and you can score the best deals in home, like up to 80% off everything home. Yes, you heard that right. 80% off with free shipping on everything. Plus surprise flash deals all Wayday long. We're talking outdoor furniture and essentials, rugs and more, all at Wayfair, and all up to 80% off during Wayday. Shop Wayfair's Wayday from April 25th through 27th.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Big color, bigger savings. Sherwin-Williams Super Sale is here. Get 40% off paints and stains April 24th through the 27th with prices starting at $30.89. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
Do you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS like Mark?
I've been doing home remodeling for 30 plus years, but the economy crashed. I wound up losing my home, losing my job, and on top of that, owing the IRS a ton of money. I owed the IRS $114,000. It really, truly was the worst part of my life.
Then Mark found Tax Relief Advocates.
On news radio, I heard about TRA, and I thought, what's the worst that could happen? So I picked up the phone and I called him. When it was all said and done, TRA settled my $114,000 debt for $100, and I'm telling you, I was ecstatic. Could not believe it. Would recommend TRA to anyone.
If you owe ten or even hundreds of thousands of dollars to the IRS, don't lose hope. Do what Mark did and call TRA for a consultation.
But TRA did. They gave me a second chance, and I'm forever grateful.
Visit TRA.com or call 800-491-9914. 800-491-9914. That's 800-491-9914.
In a world in need of a hero, one man rises to the challenge in style. He is...
Just driving the kids to soccer practice.
Make every day feel epic in the all-new Hyundai Palisade Hybrid with up to an EPA estimated 619 miles of range on select trims, advanced tech, and class-leading interior space. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details.
And hey, come on, no cleats on the seats.
Hey, y'all, I'm Maddie.
And I'm Poodle.
And together, we host the podcast Reality Gaze.
We are two ridiculous homosexuals who love nothing more than talking about reality television
and tearing in a new one.
So whether it's 90 Day Fiancé, Love is Blind, Love After Lockup, or any other trash TV show about lonely hearts looking for love, your gay besties got you covered, y'all.
New shows every week. Follow and listen to Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcast. Reality
Gaze, let's love.